It's time to get your sports weekend rolling. You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff, the best way to start your sports weekend.
Dan Kilbert, SpartanTailgate.com. I think next year could be a great rejuvenation year for Michigan State.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think they're going to be a lot better next year than people think, especially just with the way that locker room is going to play out. Draymond Green and Delvon Rowe are really going to lead this team. I think they add some good freshmen to the mix. And, of course, you get Russell Bird coming back from the injury. Just a lot of reasons to be excited.
Now, here's Dave Benton.
It's not often this time of the year that you're talking Michigan State for the future while March Madness is still going on. Welcome in, Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here with my producer and co-host Scott Eckersley. We got a good show planned for you today. We're going to talk a little bit of tourney, and we are also going to talk baseball. That's right, opening day will be on Thursday. We are talking AL Central for a good majority of today. We'll talk Royals, Indians, White Sox, Twins, and of course Tigers. We'll give you all the players that you need to know, all the people that you should be watching out for, maybe people you haven't heard of. To help us with that, 10 o'clock, we'll have Tim Dirks from MLBTradeRumors.com, and then also to talk Tigers at 10:30 will be Tony Paul from the Detroit News. But I want to start today talking about the NCAA tournament. And you know, this to me has been one of the best tournaments in recent memory. It may be the best tournament in recent memory, just from start to finish. Even the blowouts are interesting, okay? Butler blows out Wisconsin, Arizona blows out Duke, and they're intriguing games because they're games where you sit there and go, is this really happening right now? So from that standpoint, I think this really has been maybe the best tournament in recent years. And I every year, I always watch the tournaments, and I observe things, usually five or six things. And I mean, we're not talking, well, I guess VCU is pretty good kind of observations. I just mean things that as I'm watching the tournament unfold, I sit there and I say to myself, you know, that's really interesting. I'd never thought of that before, but now that I'm thinking about it, that is very, very interesting. And so I just want to point out five of those things with you. And the first thing is CBS's decision to go from one channel to four channels. In my opinion, from a programming standpoint, was absolutely brilliant. And you have to look at this from a business side of things, okay? Yes, I know it's irritating as a fan to have to switch between four different channels. You liked it better when they were giving you the games to watch, when they were saying, hey, this is the one you should be tuning into right now. So it's annoying that you have to go between four channels. But if you think about it from a business side, it really is one of the more brilliant decisions in programming in the last 20 years or so in television. You know, I've always said that the best decision in programming in the last 20 years has been ESPN's 5 to 7 o'clock block at night during the week. Okay, you go around the horn, pardon the interruption, in SportsCenter, and if you really sit down and watch that, all that is a two-hour promotion for programming going on later that night on ESPN, especially SportsCenter between 6 and 7. SportsCenter between 6 and 7 is basically live look-ins at the places that you're going to be watching at 7 o'clock. But ESPN between 5 and 7 tells you the things that they think you should need, that you need to know about in sports. And very often, it's all stuff that is on ESPN. They very rarely will jump over to the NHL. They very rarely will jump onto sports that they don't themselves televise. And so from a programming standpoint, from a promotion standpoint, that was brilliant programming on ESPN's side. And in my opinion, this decision by CBS this year to go to four stations has been absolutely brilliant. I mean, if you think about it, okay, first of all, you're quadrupling ad revenue. Because before, when you had it on one station, yeah, you were jumping back and forth between games, and yes, you had four games on at once, but the same basic ad package was for each game, and you just played ads at the different times. Now you've got four different stations, you can sell ad revenue for four different stations, and you have games going for just as long, you just don't have two games on one station at the same time. So you're making quadruple the money. Second, this introduces the viewer to three new channels. Now, I know we pretty much know about TNT and TBS at this point. Okay, but if you're watching those channels, that means that you can promote that programming on those stations, and you were introducing viewers to new shows that they may not have been aware of, especially True TV. Okay, after this tournament's done, there isn't going to be a single college basketball fan that doesn't know what channel True TV is. And if you don't think that was by design, you're a little naive. That was exactly what CBS wanted to get across with what they were doing this year. Okay, you promote True TV, you have people tune in, then all of a sudden, you can promote the shows on True TV, and just the fact that, like, for example, for me, I think True TV is channel like 57 up in Mount Pleasant. Okay, now people know what channel True TV is on. So it was brilliant from that standpoint. And I just think it was really one of the better decisions in programming in the last 20 years or so. Now, there were four other things that I realized while watching this, observations that I've made in this tournament that had to do with basketball. The first one is that Duke can't play against any athletic team that is disciplined. They can play against athletic teams, but if you are a disciplined athletic team, if you are a team with a bunch of athletes superior to Duke and you let the game come to you, you will beat Duke every time out. Arizona showed. I mean, they absolutely dismantled Duke. And you could see the frustration on Duke's face. You could see it in Kyle Singler, the way he's throwing out elbows at people. The way Nolan Smith was whining and basically crawled into a little shell like a 12-year-old kid whose dad isn't letting him win at backyard basketball. Okay? Coach K. Anytime you can tell when Coach K is frustrated, you can tell when Coach K knows he's beaten because he will whine more and more and more with the refs as the game goes along. And that's exactly what he did against Arizona. And the truth is, Arizona was better at every single position the entire second half. Towards the end of that game, it looked like a street ball competition when you see people screaming after a dunk or something like that in those street ball games. Okay? That's what it looked like. That was the atmosphere. And Duke got completely run out of the gym. And if you look at the history of Duke, especially over the last 5 years, they can't play with disciplined and athletic teams. Okay? You go back to last year when they won the national championship, they didn't play a single athletic team that was disciplined the whole time. They beat Purdue, Cal, Baylor, West Virginia, and then Butler. Now, Baylor's the only athletic teams out of that, but they were nowhere near disciplined, and Duke was able to take advantage of that. But what about the year before? They lose to Villanova 77-54. Villanova's guards ran him out of the gym. Year before that, lost in the second round to a very athletic Bob Huggins West Virginia team. And then the year before that, they lose to Virginia Commonwealth in the first round. Clearly, Duke can't play with athletic teams. And from here on out, if you see Duke go up against somebody in a bracket that is a disciplined athletic team like Arizona was, you would be wise now to pick that team to beat Duke until they adjust to it. And clearly they haven't adjusted to it well in the last couple of years. Number two, the one and done rule has been fantastic for mid-majors. Okay, the one and done rule has been around for 6 years. And in that time, look at all the mid-majors that have made runs in the tournaments. George Mason, Butler, Gonzaga, San Diego State, Davidson, BYU, Richmond, Cornell, VCU, Xavier, Temple. It is endless the amount of teams that are mid-majors that make runs in tournaments since the one-and-done has happened. That's just in the last 6 years. Why is it happening? Basically, you've got basketball teams that have to reload their lineups, revamp their lineups, recreate that chemistry every single year when they lose players, while these mid-majors have these guys playing together for four straight years. And when you have guys with team chemistry and you play teams that are superior in athletic talent but haven't played together as long, on the college level, especially these days when there isn't as much NBA caliber talent in college basketball, you can beat those teams, and the mid-majors have taken advantage of that. Number three, somewhere in the second half of that Duke game, Michigan found a swagger about them that they haven't had since they stopped paying players. Okay, the last 8 minutes of that game, Michigan not only looked like they thought they could beat Duke, they looked like they expected to beat Duke. Okay, that last shot of the game, if they thought they could beat Duke, they would have kicked it out for three. But they thought if they could get to overtime, they would run Duke out of the gym. They found a swagger about them that all year they haven't had. Okay, when they play in games against teams they know they shouldn't beat, they play hard, they play well, but they deep down mentally knew that they were not going to win those games. But something flipped a switch on them in this Duke game. And I think that's very concerning for Big Ten teams as this as next year comes in, because Michigan now not only thinks it can beat you, they are going to expect to beat you like they did against Duke. And finally, the Big Ten, if you really take a look at it, okay, and this is my final observation, there is no team in the Big Ten in the next couple of years that is built to win a national championship or even compete for a national championship. Okay, look at the big teams in it. MSU has no star players, really. Purdue loses Johnson and Moore. Ohio State loses Lighty, Diebler, and Lauderdale. Okay, if Sullinger stays, they're in the best position of these teams, but they still are going to have work to do next year. Illinois is going to lose McKamey, Tisdale, and Davis. Wisconsin has Bo Ryan, which is quite a hurdle in itself when it comes to the NCAA tournament. And Michigan doesn't really have the talent to compete for a national championship. Now, I just said they've got a swagger about them. I mean that. But in the Big Ten, they've got a swagger. I don't think they could get by a Sweet 16 with the current talent that they have on that team. So if you look at the Big Ten, they're 2 or 3 years away from having a team that can compete for a national championship. And if you look further, other than Tom Izzo, there really aren't, as good as the coaches are in the Big Ten, there really aren't any coaches that I look at them and say, I think that coach could guide that team to a national championship. I look at Matt Painter, I think he's a great coach. I don't think he's got what it takes to take a team to a national championship. Okay, I look at Bruce Weber, he clearly doesn't have what it takes. Tubby Smith only did it at Kentucky with Rick Pitino's guys when he won his national championship. So if you look at the coaches in this league, and we already talked about Bo Ryan, the Big Ten, both player-wise and coaching-wise, is not in position anytime soon to compete for a national championship. We'll talk more tourney next. I'll bring Scott in here. I want to get his opinion on all this and what he thought about last weekend's game and this weekend's games. It's weekend kickoff, 1320 WILS.